are the all-sufficient one. You're the all-sufficient one, and we acknowledge you here this morning as the all-sufficient. Christ is all and in all. Hallelujah. You are the same, Lord Jesus, yesterday, today, and forever. Glory. Oh, we praise you, Lord. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you have manifested your presence here this morning. And oh, we just ask that you lead us on, continue to lead us on in this service. Oh, praise God. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts this morning. Help us to hear things that we've never heard before. Give us ears to hear and hearts to respond with love and with eagerness to what you have to say for us. Lord, for many of us, we've heard these scriptures over and over and over again. But we thank you that your word is a living word. It is a living word, and it's a powerful word. And it's like a two-edged sword, and it can divide between soul and spirit and flesh and so on. Lord, we just pray that there will be a division here this morning in our hearts. There will be a sorting out of all the trash and all the rubbish in our lives so that we can appear before you, Lord, and you can have your way in us and you can be glorified in us. We would pray in the words of Paul the Apostle, cleanse us from all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, Lord, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You're a holy God, and you want us to be a holy people. Cleanse us, we pray. All-sufficient Jesus, we love you this morning. Just tell Jesus how much you love him, folks. Come on. Enter in. Lift your hands to him. Tell him. Surrender to him. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I declare my love for you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, we love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, precious Jesus. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Just before you sit down, folks, I want to say the Lord has spoken to me just in this moment. And he says that there are a number of people here who have real serious issues in their life. And some of you have been struggling with those issues, yes, for years. And you've not understood or known, you've not been able to comprehend that there is a resolution for your problem. And you've struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled. I want to tell you that this morning there's going to come a change of direction in your heart and in your life. And if you will respond and receive it, I believe God is going to set you free. Several folks here this morning, I don't have a number, sometimes I get a number, but I don't have a number this morning, but several folks who have been struggling, struggling, struggling. The struggling is going to be over this morning because the Holy Spirit is ministering to you right now. And Jesus, the all-sufficient one. That's the thought that's come to my mind as we were worshiping. He is the all-sufficient one. And he is sufficient to meet your need. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, just continue to lead us and bless your word to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Please be seated in his presence. Thank you to the worship team. I know, I want those. Yeah, they're mine. Thank you. Praise God. Now you know why Kay is the PA for the pastor. She looks after them. Okay. I'm just so grateful to the Lord for the privilege of being able to share with you this morning, last week. How many folks were not here last week? Wow! Well, there's just as many away this week then, because we still don't have a full church. But never mind. These two Sundays are being videoed, and there will be CDs too, of course. And I'm really, really, really considering just providing a full set of notes for anybody who would like to have them, because I'm not going to be preaching from my notes this morning. I just feel God wants me to wing it and speak from my heart. Betty and I have been married 59 years in October. October the 20th, 4 p.m., 59 years. And I think Pastor Kerry had something in mind when he asked me to minister on the subject of marriage. And bless his heart, I got a text from him last Sunday afternoon saying he'd heard about last Sunday morning service and that there was such a blessing here. And then I got a text from him this morning before we came out saying he's praying for us here. And please give our love to the people. So our pastor's on holidays, but boy, he is really here with us. His thoughts and prayers are with us. So I want to share with you this morning from Ephesians chapter 5. But I want to share the most of the message last week was marriage, the blessing of God. And then I had another heading, a marriage from God's point of view. And so I guess I could give you another heading again this morning and say marriage from Fred and Betty's point of view. Because I want you to know that we have experienced all of this stuff and we're still experiencing it. And we thank God for every season of our lives. Betty and I didn't have the privilege and the opportunity of sitting under ministry about marriage, about dating and about marriage. I guess those who were tutoring us when we went through Bible college and so on thought we would know what we needed to know. But we didn't know about marriage from God's point of view. And so what we're sharing this morning with you, and I say what we are sharing because I think Betty's going to be involved at some stage. She normally does speak up, and I want her to. But because we have gone through these things and we have learned these things, and these truths and these points that we're going to be pointing out this morning are true. They're not just a message that you give and that's it. It's real to us. And that's what God wants for us all the time, that every message we hear becomes real to us. And it becomes translated, if you like, into our lives, into our living. And into our association and relationship with one another. It's the living Word of God. So it's to be the living Word of God in us. Now, I'm not going to go through the preliminaries to give you an overview. You'll have to wait for that because we're just going to use up the time as best we can here this morning. But God really was the idea. God gave us the idea of marriage. He created marriage. And when he created man and woman in his image, the verse says there in Genesis chapter 2, he created them in his image and he blessed them. So right there at the very beginning, God's blessing was on marriage. And God still wants to bless marriage. And I want to ask you, those of you who are married, do you feel that you are blessed, really blessed in your marriage? Just think about it. I'm sure that many of you would be able to say, yes, praise God, I'm blessed in my marriage. But there will be some who will be saying, well, I'm not really sure. I'd like to be blessed. I wish I was blessed. But God wants to bless you. And I believe that there's going to come an opening up of our understanding more this morning, so that the blessing of God will be upon us as married people and as families of God. You see, God had the idea of creating a man and a woman to be married and to have a family and to have dominion over the earth and over everything to do with the earth. And of course, we know that the result of the fall was that all kinds of things happened. Sin, sickness, and death came into the world. And down through the years, we've had to face all of these things. And right at the moment, there's a tremendous movement going on, and you all know about it. The move within political circles to introduce same-sex marriage and to redefine the marriage principle between a man and a woman. And that's totally against God's word. We all know that. But there's such a push for that to happen right now. And there are some who are exponents of that who are saying, it's inevitable. It's going to happen before Christmas. And they're so convinced about it. And every time I hear somebody on the television, some of the commentators or some of the presenters, when they're discussing things, they say, well, you know, it's inevitable. We've got to catch up with the rest of the world. Well, we don't have to do that at all. We've got to catch up with the Word of God. And that's how it is. But nevertheless, we have so many in our society who are affected by these things and by these issues. And I want to speak very tenderly and I want to speak very carefully about this, because I know that it's a very tender thing. It's a very difficult thing for so many people who are struggling with these issues right now. Just last Monday, we had a young lady. Well, she's young compared to us, you know. But she's a mother with grown-up children. And she came to visit our daughter. And thank you, church, for your prayers for our daughter who's had major surgery. We've been over there looking after her for 4 weeks. And she's coming good. She's going to church for the first time this morning. And she's really getting strong and well. And the wound is healing up well. So we're just praising God for that. But she had one of her very, very good friends from way back in our Forestfield days come to see her last Monday. And we were talking. And she shared with us the fact that she knew when her little boy was 9 years old, she knew that he had an issue. And she followed him, she prayed for him, she watched him, she cared for him. And it was right through his teenage years, and she was more and more convinced that he was a gay man. And that word doesn't appear in the Bible, at least I haven't found it. But what the world describes a person with that issue in their lives. And at 19, he came to his mother and father one day, said, I have to tell you that I'm gay. And she wasn't shocked, because she felt in her heart that that was the case. So somehow he was born with that difficulty in his life. And so we talked, and I said, do you mind talking with us? Because this is a whole issue right at this moment, and people are struggling with it, and we need to find out what the Word of God says. We need to pray for those who are struggling in these areas. We need to love them just as much as we would love a murderer if they came through that door, or an adulterer, or whatever. We need to know, they need to know that they are loved. We need to embrace them. We need to minister to them. We need to help them as best we can by the grace of God. And so she shared with us, and he's going to a church, mainstream church in the city, where gay people are welcomed, and they're able to go that way. And sometimes some of them have been ordained in that particular denomination. And of course, I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. And but he has a walk with God. To what extent? We don't know. She doesn't know. But she is at least comforted by the fact that he's going to church. He's been involved in church. And he's living a single life. Now, I remembered then that there is another minister in another denomination in Perth who is a gay man, and it's an evangelical denomination, and he has come to terms with this. His denomination has come to terms with this, and he is now an assistant minister in a church, and he's doing a great work, and he has really, really got a heart for the street people. And he's out there almost every night of the week ministering to street people, because he understands where some of them are. He understands the issues. He understands the problems. And he's praying for them. He's inviting them to come to church. And they know that they're accepted. Folks, it's a very real issue. And I just want to encourage you, if you know of anybody, or if there is anybody in, if there would be anybody in your family, close or not so close, who are struggling with these issues, just love them, pray for them. God doesn't like what they're doing and how they are, no more than he likes all other sin, but he wants to minister them, and nothing is impossible to God. Many years ago, when we just came into the ministry as Salvation Army officers, I didn't intend to take this time, but this is the way I believe the Lord's leading. We became aware of a man who was a senior officer to us in the Salvation Army. He was a major. And in those days, you became aware of a man who had a different physical constitution and so on. And we sort of thought, he's effeminate. And that's the term we used to use. He's an effeminate man. He had no facial hair. He had no body hair like a man does. He had a very high-pitched voice. It was not like a man. He was not even like a tenor voice for a man. His voice was very high-pitched. But he had accepted the fact that he was different. And he married another Salvation Army officer. And together, they understood, obviously, that they couldn't have children. But they still lived in partnership together. And I guess in today's terms, we would say he was gay. However, having said all that, I just want you to know that personally, and I know the leadership of this church, are very, very concerned that we get an unbiased view of biblical truth, and that we address these issues in a loving, compassionate way, and know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. Hallelujah. Now, beyond that, let's look at the fact that we established last week that our bodies, the Bible says, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That means that our bodies are sacred and our bodies belong to Christ. And therefore, we are to live that way. We are to conduct ourselves that way as though we belong to Him, and we do. We don't belong to ourselves. You are not your own, the Bible says. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So, folks, let's look at all these issues and let's look at marriage now in its pure form as God intended us to see it. All right. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, please. I'm sorry I haven't been able to organize the PowerPoint thing. I'm not up with that technology yet. So if they can follow me with Ephesians 5, that'd be good. But if you look at Ephesians 5, and I want to remind you that Ephesians 5 has a context in which this teaching on husbands and wives appears. And it's a very important context for us to understand. First of all, the first 7 verses are entitled Walking in Love. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. God is love. He wants us to be imitators of Himself and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. That's how He wants us to live, to walk in love, to live with a loving attitude, just as God loves us and as Christ has loved us and given Himself for us. But fornication, which is sex before marriage, and all uncleanness or covetousness, all immorality, in other words, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks, and so on. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous person who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Now, I'm not going to read every section through, but that section is important because it's speaking about walking in love and walking free from all immorality and all that is unclean in the world. The next section from verses 8 through to 14 talk about walking in the light. For you were once darkness, verse 8 says, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So there's a sermon in each of these sections that I can't take time to deal with right now. We were once darkness, but now we're light. Hallelujah. Do I have anybody in the house that's with me? Amen. Amen. I was hoping I hadn't put you to sleep, so. No, so we were once darkness, but now we are light. So walk in the light. Walk in love. Walk in the light. So everywhere we go, we are spreading the light. Then the next section says, walk in wisdom. See then that you walk circumspectly and not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And that's what our purpose is in this message, to understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, the context now goes on, flows on into church fellowship. And speaking to us as believers, but it's now going to go into the church fellowship position. And it says, see then that you walk, yes, sorry, verse 18, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation or debauchery, some translations say, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, sing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Then comes the full stop. So the whole of those three verses are speaking about church. And we've experienced it this morning. We experienced it again last Sunday morning. Tremendous presence of God. And here we are this morning, and another demonstration of the presence of God in our midst this morning. How precious and beautiful that is. Now, that's the setting, and straight after that, Paul the Apostle is led to speak about wives and husbands. So here we go. And of course, it's ladies before gents. So wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, I think this business of submission is a problem text for many, many wives. How many wives would say that's a problem text for me? I'm not trying to trick you. It's all right. Okay. Well, everybody's convinced that it's not a problem text, Betty. That's good, eh? You won't have to talk about submission. I didn't ask you. That's right. Wives, submit to your husband. Now, there's a way that submission comes into effect. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. It's all in this sacred Christian atmosphere, Christian fellowship. And it's all enshrouded in that. We don't walk out of church and go and live our married lives out of the fellowship of the church, out of God's fellowship. We don't cease to be the temple of the Holy Spirit in our bodies. We don't cease to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, as verse 21 says. This is a living principle for every day of our lives, 24/7, that we should walk in that way, that we should relate in that way, and submit to your own husband as to the Lord, because he is the Lord. Is the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as, and I want you to underline that in your mind right now, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So we have a very, very clear picture there of what the marriage relationship should consist of, because Adam was made first and Eve was made second. She was made to make Adam complete. That's what it means in the original, that she would be his helper. The old King James used to talk about her being a helpmeet, and that doesn't make sense. But the real sense of it is that she would be his helper. So Betty is my helper. And she submits to me as unto the Lord. As she is submitting to the Lord, she submits to me. Now, that wasn't an easy issue for Betty. And Betty, could Betty have that microphone, please? It's dangerous, I know. But when we got married, she was already an ordained minister in the Salvation Army. I was an ordained minister. She was a year and 10 months older than me.
And I had 3 years more experience than you too.
See? So when we got married, Betty had to face this issue of submitting to her husband. And we had no teaching on it, folks, remember. So, Betty, tell us how quickly. Stand up and tell us.
Stand up?
Yes, please.
Now?
Yes, please. Submit, please. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, submit.
Yeah. You made me do this last week. You know, what he says is true. I was a Salvation Army officer. We'd been taught to run the church. When we got married, I thought I knew how to run the church. And I will never forget, we had a harvest Thanksgiving. And I was trying to tell Fred how to decorate the place. Men don't know those things. And so I was trying to tell him what to do and what not to do. He thought he knew best, and I thought I knew best. It wasn't nice. And
we had moments of intense fellowship.
We had only been married a few months, and we had the first doozy, I tell you. We were really upset. He won. He won.
Of course.
Not because I submitted, just because of his sheer determination. He won.
Oh, thank you.
And the place looked magnificent. And there have been many other times when that sort of thing has happened in our early days until finally I knew he was just never going to give up. So I submitted. Not very cheerfully. But since then I've learnt. The Bible says, women, submit to your husbands. And I know that's very difficult for women whose husbands are not Christians. But the Bible does not say, woman, submit to your husband if he's a Christian. It doesn't say that. Not that I know of. Is that in there anywhere?
That's right, no.
No.
You're good.
So this is a necessary thing. And I find today, actually I had to submit to him yesterday.
You
Do you remember that?
No.
Your quiet stubbornness just gets me.
Hurry up or I'm going to
don't
take the microphone off you.
Don't you want to have an argument right now? You don't want to have an argument
No,
in front
no, no. I don't want to have intense fellowship here.
No, because they never argue, so they wouldn't understand what we were doing, would they?
That's right.
Do you reckon they'd know what it was if we had an argument?
No.
No, I don't either, because they're so gracious, all so loving and so caring. All the wives submit to their husbands, and they never have an argument.
Where are you going with this?
I'm not sure. I'm going with you, that's all I know.
Good. Okay.
Okay, so, okay. But there have been times, you know, when we've had our difficult times, but I have learned that if I submit to my husband, God knows best and he works things out for me. I remember one very serious situation. I had a shocking dose of the flu. I was really sick. I couldn't get out of bed on my own, and Fred had an appointment to preach, and he loves to preach.
And it was down in Esperance.
And it was in Esperance.
An 8-hour drive to get there.
Our children were all out of the house by then, and so I was there alone, and I cried, and I said to him, Fred, you can't go. Please don't go. I need you. And he said, no, I have to go. I can't send someone down there on the spur of the moment. You'll be all right. I have to go. So I thought, what's my next step? I said, Lord, you can speak to him better than I can. So I just prayed. And then I said, okay, I'll be fine. And you know what? Half an hour later, he came to me. And he said, I've just heard that so-and-so is going to be in Esperance. And I'm not going to go. God, if we submit, then God blesses the situation, doesn't he? I really do love him so much. You know that, don't you?
Thank you. Praise God. The thing that you have to remember is, and the thing that husbands have to remember is, that you have a responsibility to be the man God wants you to be in order to help your wife to submit to you. As Christ loved the church, he's the head of the church. And you can't have a two-headed body. That would be grotesque. You can't have two leaders. You can't have two pilots in a plane. You've got to have one captain in the plane. You've got to have one captain on the ship. You can't have dual captains and dual pilots and so on. So likewise, in our marriages, we are two people, but you can only have one leader. And the husband needs to be that leader. And so that helps the wife to be able to... And I had to learn that, folks. I had to learn that the hard way. That my responsibility was to be the man of God that she could happily respond to and make me complete. Then we come to the husbands. Husbands, love your wives. And our time is going so quickly. Husbands, love your wives just as. Here's another just as. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. And it goes on. Listen to it, folks. Just as the church is subject to Christ. I'm sorry, I've missed the... Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, comma, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Full stop. Now that's a mouthful. And if I have ever had a struggle to do what God wants me to do, it's to try and understand how much he wants me to love my wife. And after 59 years, folks, I am still applying myself to that. I desperately love her. We have been through many seasons, as I think I mentioned last week. But right now, I couldn't love her any more than I do. And we both say, thank you, Lord, for this season of our lives when we are just so happy and we're just so fulfilled in our union together. And I had to learn that my responsibility was far more onerous than for her. You see, nowhere in the scripture do I find that the wife is commanded to love her husband. Not that you're let off the hook, because you have to love God and love your neighbor and so on. But where it comes to your husband is concerned, you are not commanded to love him. You're commanded to submit to his love. And that's more the key, to submit to his love, because that makes you complete. That makes him complete, and it makes your union precious. And as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, and all of those things that Jesus did for the church. And that's the way that I have got to love my wife. That's the way God wants you guys to love your wives. So many of us can be selfish, and we can have that attitude that, well, I'm the head of the house and I'm going to have my way. And they'll, when I speak, they jump, you know, and they say, how high, sort of thing. No, that's not it. Jesus doesn't dominate the church. He loves the church. He loves us with an everlasting love. And that's what God wants us to do, to love our wives, just as he loved the church. And that doesn't give any place for self-centeredness. He emptied himself of everything but love when he came down from the heavenly throne, from the Father's presence. And he took upon himself the form of a man. And he lived as a man, a single man. He lived the life that we live. And he gave himself ultimately for us. He put up with the disciples, with all their idiosyncrasies from time to time, with all their unbelief, with all their mistakes. He put up with them. But he finally went to the cross. Finally, as we were singing so beautifully this morning, he rose from the dead. He's the risen Christ. He is the all-sufficient Christ for us. And he wants us to love our wives to that degree if we can. Now, that's a challenge, men. But I believe that we are equal to the challenge. God never requires something of us that he doesn't give us the ability and the grace to do it. And if you have it in your mind that you want to love your wife more as Christ loved the church, that's going to make a difference in the atmosphere and in the dimension of your relationship together. I just pray that you will just really come to terms with that, gentlemen, because it's so important. But it also means that you are the leader, the spiritual leader in your house. Jesus is the spiritual leader of the church, and he wants you and I to be the spiritual leader in our families, in our homes. When God was setting up, you know, the families and so on, it's written in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verses 19 through to 21 that we are to teach our children and so on how to conduct our homes. You see, so many times we leave the teaching of our children and our families to the church. And we only get together once a week as a family like this. And you can't depend upon the church to do that. It's got to happen at home. Your home is supposed to be a little church. It's really supposed to be a little church. And God had this in mind because he says, you shall teach them to your children. I'm sorry. Verse 18, therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. That's the way God wants our homes to be, like heaven on earth. So many homes, unfortunately, are hell on earth. How many people are committing suicide and divorcing and all of this is going on right now. And God wants it to be just the opposite. He wants it to be that way. So as the leader of our family, men, we are responsible for what happens in our house. What sort of music happens in your house? What sort of relationship happens in your house? What sort of do you teach your children at a family worship time? We had family worship. We learned this in the Salvation Army. We did learn this much, that it's important after the meal to have family worship. And so from the time our children were able to squeak, we started having family worship. And right through until they left home, we had family worship in our home. Our children learnt the Word of God. Our children began to pray, and they would take it in turns. And then other times they would all want to pray. And one time when I was in Katanning and I had a job while I pioneered the church, I had a policeman on patrol with me. I was in traffic patrol down there. And his wife was in hospital. And we were on an afternoon shift, and I rang Betty and said, can I bring Ian home for dinner tonight? And she said, yes, of course. So I brought him home for dinner, and after dinner I said, well, Ian, we always have family worship in our church, and at least in our home, so you're welcome to stay and share with us, but if you'd like to, we can give you a cup of coffee and you can go into the lounge and wait for us there. And if you would just excuse us, we'll have our family worship. Oh, no, 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 he said, I'll stay. So he stayed, and we did what we always do. And then at that point, the children all used to like to pray. We had five, and we had a little Aboriginal fellow that we fostered as well for 4 years. And so there were six little kids that wanted to pray, and several of them said, dear Lord, please bless Connable, you know, I won't say his name, we'll say Stuart, Connable Stuart. They didn't say constable. They couldn't get their tongue around it. Please bless Connable Stuart, his wife, and heal her. And all of the, for the rest of the night, as we were patrolling around the streets of Katanning and doing what we had to do with drunk drivers and all sorts of things, he was going back to that. That was amazing. That was amazing that your children would pray for my wife. And some of them prayed for him too. And he was right out there. Lovely guy, but he was right out there on the verge of becoming a sergeant of police. So he had a lot of experience. But it made an impression on him. And so as the leader of your home, brethren, it's important that you teach and train your children. There's another scripture that I want to bring to you. Jeremiah chapter 31, God says there, at the same time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. See, God's idea has always been the family, the family, the family. And this church, and every church, but this church is based on the family principle. Husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, children. And we are all God's children. And God wants the church to be a demonstration to the world. Remember the quote that I brought you last week. God wanted to display his glory to the world through marriage and through the family. And that's why he makes that promise. If you teach your children and train your children in that way, then your home will be like heaven on earth. And we can promise you that. Our time has gone, and I do want to really pray. So God bless you, and you've given rapt attention. I want to encourage you this morning to get the DVDs, and I'll have the notes and make them available if anybody wants to look at it more fully, because time has gone here this morning. But let's just pray and just seek the Lord for a moment. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just thank you for your precious word. We thank you that in your word we find that your heart is for your church. Your heart is for families. Your heart is for children to be born into those families, like these two precious children have been born into these families here in the church right now. And they are part of this church family. We thank you that that was your heart. Your heart is that the church will be like a big family. Your heart is that we will submit to one another out of respect and reverence for Christ. Your heart is that we will have a husband and wife relationship that will just reflect your glory, that will reflect the oneness of the Godhead, because this is a time when you have declared that the two shall become one flesh. Oh God, your heart is for us to know the sacredness of this marriage relationship, the sacredness of family relationship, and to know that our families, as well as the other families in the church, all combine to display to the world your glory in and through our marriages. Lord, we just want to be walking in love this morning as Christ loved us. We want to be walking in the light because you are the light of the world, and we are to be walkers. We are to walk in light and so dispel the darkness. You also want us to walk in wisdom, Lord. And you want us to be participators in the greater family of the church, and that we might praise and worship you with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, spontaneously arising out of our spirits unto you, the living God, as we have been doing this morning. And Lord, it's in that atmosphere that your heart is for us to enjoy the most beautiful, the most special, the most precious marriage relationship because it's speaking of the marriage of Christ and the church. It's speaking of the one who is the great bridegroom who is coming back for his bride, the church. And the church will be without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Oh God, we pray in Jesus' name that you would just bring us to a special place right now, to a special place. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I want to pray in the first place for any who are experiencing some difficulty with their sexual identity. I pray, Lord, that you would just show them so much how much you love them. Show them, Lord, how much you care about their circumstance, how much you care about their situation, how much you want to minister to them, how much you want to bring healing and wholeness to them, just as much as you want to bring healing and wholeness to us all in our bodies and in our minds and in our spirits, and to make us whole. Oh Lord, let there be such a ministry of your Holy Spirit right now to each and every person who may be affected that way, or who may know of folks who are affected that way, that Lord, your Holy Spirit will just lead them and bless them in their experience of your love and your grace in their lives. Now, Lord, I want to pray for the men folks here. I want to pray that you would just touch them in a very special way. I wonder, would all the men be prepared to stand? All the men, please. All the married men particularly, but single men as well. Just before I pray for you men, I did request that we sing Calvary Covers It All again this morning during this time at the end of our service. And I want to say that whatever our previous circumstances, whatever our history, I want to remind you again, as I did last week, Calvary covers it all. Calvary is the answer to it all. And Calvary is the answer for us as men, that we might become the men of God that He wants us to become. Because of His cleansing, precious blood flowing over us, cleansing us, washing us with the water of the Word too, that we are able to be the men of God that our wives are proud of, that our wives are willing to submit to us and to work with us and to make us complete. And as a couple, we're able to do the things that God wants us to do. And for the young men who are not married yet and who one day will be married, that God will just lead you and guide you and help you to live a life of purity, so that you will not be offensive in any way to the opposite sex. That you will not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by doing anything that is not necessary, not appropriate for a Christian to do. Oh, Father, I just pray for these men right now in the name of Jesus, that whatever their position is right now, wherever they have maybe failed you in their responsibility to live this life in a way that will bring honor and glory to you, we just pray that you would forgive them right now. We pray that, Lord, you would just lift them up with a new sense of their spiritual identity, of their leadership responsibility, and that they will just seek you more than they've ever sought you before, that their prayer life with you, their relationship with you will become richer and purer as the days come and go. And therefore, they will be able to give that spiritual leadership in their home. Lord, I pray that they will just seriously consider how they can create the atmosphere of a Christian home so that people who come to their homes will just know that they're coming into the presence of God. They will just know that their children are disciplined, their children love the Lord, and that they honor their parents. Just pray, oh God, that they will just know that there's something different about this home. Oh God, would you touch them? Would you bless them? Would you inspire them right now, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 And every young man who's single, I pray that you would just touch them too. Bless them now. Give them a new sense of direction, a new sense of purpose in their lives. And Lord, whatever it is that you want from them from now until they go to be with you, we just pray that it will come clearer and clearer every day in the name of Jesus. Now, would the wives stand, please, with their husbands? Bless your hearts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, at least hold your wife's hand. Come on. And you have my permission to put your arm around her shoulders. All right? Okay. Ladies, you have my permission to get hold of your man too. All right. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Betty, would you take the microphone, please, and come and pray for the wives. And then I'll pray for the couples just briefly.
Dear Lord, we just thank you. We thank you so much because we know that your ways are best. And we thank you this morning, Lord, because you have been here with us and blessing us and helping us. And Father, thank I just you, pray Jesus. For every wife who is standing before you now. I just ask you, Lord, to help her to be the wife that your word expects her to be the wife that you want her to be, to love and to care and to cherish her husband, to be his true helper. It's not a matter of being his commander or being over him in any way, but to be his true helper, the woman that you have designed that she should be.
Jesus.
And we just ask you, Lord, that right now these things will become clear. Our words are faulty. Our words can be misunderstood, but your word can't. And so we just pray for every wife, for every lady, for every young lady who's one day will be a wife,
yes,
that amen. These things will be very real to her just now.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Just one more thing that is very, very precious to Betty and I, and that's we pray together every morning. We read the word together every morning, and it's so, so precious. I wonder how many of you gentlemen pray with your wife, not just for her, but with your wife. I once made that request in a church of 450 people in Frankston in Melbourne, and one man raised his hand to signify that he prayed for his wife, and with his wife, I should say. One man. Out of a church of 450. So I got desperate and I asked all the men to stand up. Then I asked all their wives to stand up. And I asked them to stand facing each other. And they knew I was up to something then. I'm not going to do it this morning. Don't get worried. Don't make for the door. And then I said, hold hands. Now, in the name of Jesus, men, pray for your wives right now. And we'll sing a chorus. The rest of the church will sing a chorus to cover you. But you pray for your wife right now. And when they'd finished, I said, now, wives, pray for your husbands. And there were tears flowing. And it just did something for those people. It was so special and so beautiful. Folks, you're one in Christ and you're one in the flesh. You are one in this sacred relationship, and you need to give glory to God for all that is your experience right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I want you to pray for each other. We're going to sing. I'm going to sing, or we're going to sing. All the single people in the church tonight, this morning. What is it? This afternoon. I'm sorry. All the single folks and the folks on the platform will sing the chorus quietly. Calvary covers it all. And I want you to pray for each other. Okay? God bless you.